Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Rosemary Fox and Pat Rivers with Spirit Talk. And tonight we are going to talk about something controversial. And actually, we're planning on doing that for a few weeks to come here because we feel that, as Pat says, you know, fairies and rainbows and fluffy bunnies, although the majority of those average day problems are surrounded by relationships, job issues. There are also other things out there that are very important that maybe people don't have all the facts. And I know I did some research today online and watched some videos today that you too can do as well. We're not going to say anything that we can't back up, but we're actually going to talk about abortion today from the spiritual aspect and the moral aspect and the legal aspect of it. And you'll be surprised at some of the findings. Before I do that, I want to announce that I have a show. I'm actually going to have Cynthia Hodges on tomorrow, which has been on, she's been on Blog Talk before, and she's a very good reader. But we are going to talk about the new moon and the wonderful possibilities with this 11-11 moon tomorrow. There's so many facets to it. So I think anybody interested in that would be interested in listening to that. Also, Pat has her show on River Spirit Messages. I think it's 10 o'clock Eastern. When I look at it, my time, I think it's 9 o'clock her time, but 10 o'clock Eastern. So you'll want to tune into that. And, of course, we have this show every week on Tuesdays from 8 until 9:30. So anyway, we're not going to labor the point here, but we're really going to just spend a little bit of time and talk about the issue of abortion. And we're going to start with the spirituality of abortion. So did you want to go first, Pat, or did you want me to go first?
Why don't I go ahead and go first?
Okay.
We can go back and forth, you know, just conversation if you want.
Right.
The thing about abortion, it's such a pivotal part of the political process now. It's something that, you know, it really seems to divide our politics. And to me, I've never understood that because as a registered nurse, I worked for 8 or 9 years at a woman's hospital. And my dad was an OBGYN doctor. He delivered babies. So many years of my career as a nurse, I saw firsthand anything that could happen to a woman. We did it at our hospital. We even did plastic surgery for women at our hospital. So the thing I want people to think about abortions is that even though in the last 50 years in America, it's been a really political thing. But what most people don't realize is that abortions, you know, terminating a fetus's life, this has been going on since we came out of the caveman days. Every culture on the planet, all indigenous tribes, Native American tribes, South Americans, Europeans, every group of people have always had the knowledge and the medicine to terminate a pregnancy. And this was due in fact that when people were nomadic, when they had to, you know, follow the wildlife to survive, you know, you had your summer camp, your winter camp or whatever, and you only had limited resources in the area that people lived geographically. You know, this is before cars and this is before people had any kind of technology whatsoever. They seriously lived off the land. You did not have the ability to take care of that many people. So for thousands and thousands and thousands, the Greeks did it, the Romans did it, the Hebrews did it. You know, every single group of people have had their medicine people, whether it's their midwives or whatever it was, they all knew the right herbs to take. They knew exactly how to abort fetuses. And it, you know, look at China, for example. You know, part of their religion was that everyone's supposed to have their firstborn child should be a male. That having a male as your firstborn child brings honor to the family. It brings dishonor if you had a female child. So for thousands of years, Chinese people, if their firstborn was a female, which most you know, there are more girls born than boys. They seriously would lay them a newborn baby out on the side of a mountain because they had their all had their sacred places, and that newborn child was left there to die. And they would put the females out there until they had a boy. And even in China today, they just now are starting to relax their rules of only being able to have one child because they perform so many abortions. Once they find out that it's a female child, they have had so many abortions performed. The male population is so huge now, they finally got smart and realized if we keep aborting all the girls, we're not going to have a country. So they have now relaxed their laws so that people can have more than one child. But the point I'm trying to make here is that spiritually, you know, everyone believes what they want to believe. I'm not here to judge anybody because as a nurse, that was not my job to judge anyone. But I will tell you this, as a registered nurse and being in the healthcare field, every woman should be allowed to have the choice that she's going to make and have it done in a very safe, clean, sterile environment. I have taken care of too many little young girls that, this is back in the 80s, and even though they had access to a medical doctor, they had doctors that would lose their licenses to be a doctor and they would set up abortion clinics. And so, you know, they lost their license for some reason, malpractice for some reason. So I can't tell you how many times we would get these little 14, 15, 17-year-old girls that would have gone to one of these hack shops to have an abortion, and it was botched, and they came in septic. I'll never forget one time there was this beautiful girl. She was 16, cheerleader, straight A's, came from a very affluent family. She had the whole world ahead of her. You know, she had the whole world ahead of her, and she was pregnant. And she'd only had one boyfriend. And so what I get presented with is I get a call from the front desk of the hospital saying, get your emergency room. We've got a true critical patient coming to you. Get set up for surgery. There's a problem. And they didn't even know what it was, but the girl was lethargic, and she was almost non-responsive. And so the thing was, when the guys with the stretchers were bringing her down the hall, I could smell her, and I'm not trying to be horrible, but this is the point I truly want people to understand about abortions. People are going to have them one way or the other. Girls are going to have abortions with or without parental consent, and if they can't get to a real doctor, they'll go to what I'm fixing to tell you. So this girl, the odor coming from her was so horrendous, I immediately knew I had to get our face masks and the wintergreen oil. And we saved the wintergreen oil strictly for situations where the odor was so bad that you would be gagging. So they bring her to me, and she's sweat. She's got a high, I think her fever was like 104. She was mumbling. She was hallucinating. Her skin was pale, and this girl was in shock. She was in total septic, what we call septic shock, which means whatever infection she has is throughout her whole body. It's hit her bloodstream, and it's in every organ, every cell of her body. And so I'm trying to get the history on her, and there's no parents with her. And she kind of, I put cold rags trying to wipe her face so she can wake up and talk. And long story is this. She was pregnant with her and her little boyfriend were panic-stricken. She didn't want to disappoint her parents. They were Catholic. So they just saved their money, and they took her to this abortion clinic. And when the doctor was doing the pregnancy, the termination, he did not realize, because I guess he didn't know what he was doing, but she was pregnant with twins. And he only aborted one fetus, excuse me, and he did kill the other one, but it was coming off, it was not aborted properly. Let's put it that way, in a very delicate way. So that's where the odor was coming from, because she'd had the abortion like 4 or 5 days before. So you can imagine what I'm trying to say without being totally graphic. And long story short is the girl died. She died of septic shock. Her parents came screaming, you know, running down the hall. They had no idea. They thought she'd been in a car wreck. They didn't know what was going on. They did a DNC on her. But this is how crucially important it is that every woman, every young female has the opportunity to have excellent health care, whether you religiously, morally, spiritually believe in this or not, I don't care. Every woman should have the right to good health care. And so I just want people to look at the big picture. we've turned this into a political religious issue. If you want to get technical about it, the Catholic Church, they're one of their major tenets when it comes to reproduction. The Catholics originally qualified a human being as after you're out of your mother's body and you take your first breath and you cry and you're alive, then you're considered human. So even Catholicism did not consider a baby in the womb a human being until after it was taking its first breath and out of the mother. So I just want people to realize that whether you agree or disagree, in my opinion is if you don't believe in abortions, don't have one. You know, that's one of these free will kind of situations. And on a spiritual level, this is my opinion on it, and I know Rosemary's going to address this probably, but I truly feel you can't kill a soul. A soul is energy that can never be destroyed. And so that baby, the body may not be alive, but you're not killing a soul. So many people, you know, when I do readings for people, I can't tell you, Rosemary and I talked about this, she's had the same experience. We know there's a baby somewhere attached to this person, either through miscarriage, abortion, because that little soul is still around. And it's always, I've never seen anything but total happiness and joy. And they have no ill will towards their mother. That little spirit is still hanging around. And it's there to help bring happiness and to help be like a little guardian angel. So I know so many women, in my readings, the guilt and the shame and the grief that goes along with the situation, I can't tell anybody how to feel. I can't do that. But if you can just look at the big picture and realize you can't kill a soul, and so the baby's vehicle is no longer alive, that's between that woman and God. That's between the woman and whatever she calls God to make amends with that, to feel at peace with that. And to me, you know, I can talk both sides of the fence here because as a healthcare person, I'm not here to judge anybody, but I will say this, and I know Rosemary's going to talk about this. I do have two issues. Do you want me to bring those up now, Rosemary, or did you want to talk?
I know the issue we're going to talk about, that's sort of, we're going to leave that to the end.
Okay, well, then that's really all I was going to say because I want you and I to discuss that, you know, the two political aspects of it.
Yeah, because there's two sides to every coin.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Pat is saying here, because you know, first of all, I want to say this: our opinions are not the opinions of Blog Talk Radio. If everybody wants to complain and they call the radio, they're not responsible for the content of the radio show that we're doing. Not that we feel that we're doing anything offensive, which is actually bringing out facts. One of the most important things, as Pat was saying in readings, sometimes I do a reading for somebody, and there's a spirit child there. And on talking to the client, you know, often they'll end up in tears because it's not an easy thing. You know, you could have been in love, you could have been too young, you could have made a mistake. There's a million things. But either way, that's a dramatic or somewhat of a dramatic experience in your life. When you realize, oh, my God, I'm pregnant and I'm 14, 16, 18 or whatever, I have no means of real support. And then you have to make that decision. And also those people will get to their middle years here, get married, have children, and don't think that that's totally forgotten. They do sort of remember it. It's not supposed to dog your life so that you're walking around in guilt. Because one of the things I do know is that spirit child under the side, first of all, they know they're leaving. Just like we make a contract to come here before we die, they know they're coming back. They probably say, hey, guys, I'll be back here in about 5 weeks or so. They sort of know. They know they're going to be leaving, okay? So that's number one. Number two, they have nothing but love for the person that they actually chose to be in the first place. When you die, you will meet that child on the other side, and you will recognize them. You will know that they are part of you. So it's nothing but a joyous thing and not something that you should carry around as a total weight your entire life. So on the other side of that, morally, there are things to consider because I am somewhere in the middle between pro-life and pro-choice, okay? So that's why we're presenting all things tonight. how does it behoove a child to be born to a drug addict where they have the shakes, they have learning disabilities, they don't have a quality life? That's number one. Number two, if you don't teach your children responsibility and you keep having one abortion after another, there are people that have four or five abortions. Guess what? By the time they are married and they truly want a child, this man they love, they can't carry a child to full term because the disruption to the body is so great that a good 80% of people that have had one, you know, using it as a birth control, if you like, and have no sense of responsibility at all, that's what happens to you then. You can't just keep having abortions like shelling peas here. It doesn't work like that. And the other aspect of that, too, is if you don't teach your children responsibility, then what are you going to teach them? Because one of the things, we can all make a mistake. There's a lot of people, young people, that have this romantic illusion, my boyfriend and I and baby makes three. Oh, that's fine, but it costs a fortune, okay? Even though nobody thinks, oh, baby only has a little bit, you know, it's more than that. The diapers will cost you $60 a week and then some, okay? Never mind anything else. So there's a huge responsibility to bring a child into the world. The other thing is, for all the hypocrites, and I do say this, who point their fingers and go, oh, this is wrong, you can't do this, blah, 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 that changes the minute that your 14-year-old comes home and says, I'm pregnant, okay? And then they secretly have abortions or what have you, and, you know, and it's all swept under the carpet. It's so easier to be holier than thou and point fingers at other people. And also the other side of that is, if you're going to have so much to say about it, well, maybe you should pay for it. Maybe you should pay for this child's education, clothing, food, everything it needs to be brought up in a healthy environment. So unless you can't, then you need not be pointing fingers at people who made a very difficult choice for many, many reasons. And you know, I don't need to go into every single reason, but there are a lot of reasons why people choose to do that. And I do not think it's an easy decision. And you know, overall, it's not bad. So the thing that Pat and I are going to talk end this with, it's more on a political thought is, but one of the things I wanted to say first was, since I lived in America, which is about 37 years now, my thought of the American people is there's a lot of very kind-hearted people, a lot of good people here, maybe some old-fashioned traditions here. There's a lot of good-hearted people. And what we're going to say now it would shock you if you did not know this before. And that is about abortions that are formed at 6 months and, you know, around about that time. And Pat and I discussed this. And today I went on YouTube, that anybody can do that, okay, where I put in selling baby parts or something to that nature anyway. And I actually listened to a really good interview with three women that had their real names that worked in an abortion clinic, and I was absolutely horrified. And I actually think that if people, although we don't want to ever hear anything unpleasant, if people actually knew everything, the real grassroots of stuff, then we would all take action. Because you do have a voice. It is a political, it is always used as a stomping ground in politics, what you believe and appealing to you morally or who you are and all the rest of it. But I actually said to Pat, that I think it was a good idea if people would write to their local congressmen and actually just, point out these facts. Why don't a group of doctors sit down with our politicians and make rules that make sense? You know, after 24 weeks or, you know, 5 months, 6 months of pregnancy, unless you have a severely deformed baby, meaning half a brain or no arms and legs or whatever, okay, then I think that decision could be made, or the life of the mother would definitely die. There are extenuating circumstances for such things, but if you can actually go that long and then suddenly decide, I'm not going to have this baby, maybe you fell out with your boyfriend, husband, maybe you feel alone or depressed, whatever, what happens after that, and this is one of the, I'm going to let Pat talk on it. One of the things that horrified me when one of these women speaking today was, she said that often the mothers that are that far gone, oh, we'll ask, is the baby going to feel any pain? Is what's going to happen? And if they ask too many questions, they decide to put them under. They actually decide to put them asleep. Because the truth of the matter is, it's just pure murder, really. What I heard today is that we are murdering healthy, alive babies, okay, when they come out of the womb, and the doctors are making money off of it, big money off of it, by the way. It means the more you pay, the more likely that you could have this done. And that horrifies me. That, to me, is not my image of the American people. You could go many places in the world, and that would you could go, okay, I could see how that happened there, this or that. I'm not making a judgment on other countries. But that's not America. This is a family-orientated country, okay, that does a lot of good things, a lot of good people here. And if you knew this, would you not take action with your politicians? So Pat, tell me what that ruling in the House was, what right. they actually did. And this is not to knock Democrats or Republicans or anything, but it just happens to be this. It happens to be this way. So tell me what you told me about that when we were talking about that earlier.
Yeah. Well, you know, Democrats and Republicans, we've gotten to where we're almost polar opposites of each other, it appears. And what happened when Planned Parenthood is an organization that the United States government gives money every year for women's services. You know, I think women get free birth control. They have all different sorts of services. But it is totally 100% illegal for Planned Parenthood, which is supposed to be a nonprofit, it is totally legal for them to make money, especially having anything to do with aborted fetuses. And that's what Rosemary had not seen these videos that have been on the news recently, and so that's why I told her you need to go watch this, because that was one of the big issues right there politically. What they're doing is against the law to be making a profit. Okay, that's the first issue. But the second issue is, when these films, these videos came to light, the House of Representatives, our Congress, started fighting about this bitterly between the Democrats and the Republicans, because the Democrats do not want Planned Parenthood to be stopped because of the services that it offers low-income women. The thing about that is reports that they've done, every place that there is a Planned Parenthood facility, it's usually in a lower income area, and 75% to 85% of the women who have abortions are Black. So Planned Parenthoods are mainly in Black neighborhoods, and the abortions are usually for Black women. And you know, you have to realize that Black women, Black people are 12 to 13% of our population, so they're definitely a minority. That was one of the issues. Another issue is that, and this is what Rosemary and I talked about, one thing I noticed when I was a nurse, and I'm not talking about any race when I say this, I'm just talking about people. We would have people that would come in that strictly really did use having an abortion as a form of birth control. And when I tell you, I'm not talking about a 15-year-old now. I'm talking about women in their late 20s to their 30s. That already have 5 and 6 children, and they really did use abortions as a form of birth control. So the thing about Planned Parenthood, Congress, our House of Representatives drafted a bill that said they weren't trying to take away women's rights to have a baby, have an abortion, okay? But we're talking about late-term abortions. Now, that's where it gets a little slippery. What do you consider late-term? I look at it this way. Any baby that can make it outside the mother's womb, even though it may be in intensive care for months, to me that's a viable fetus. So we're talking about a baby that's, you know, between 5 months would be the cutoff. Most infants less than 5 months, any infant less than 5 months old, they're not going to make it, okay? But anything 5.5, 6 months, they've got a shot. They're a fully formed baby at that point. So Congress wrote a bill saying that since they're not going to try to, they know they can't overturn Roe versus Wade, which means go back to the days where abortions are illegal, they strictly said two things. We don't want to fund Planned Parenthood that are doing these late-term abortions for profit, which is against the law, And secondly, we don't want to be having the doctors or anyone been able to legally do an abortion on a fully formed fetus that is a human being. So Congress passed, they put a law up to vote to go to the Senate, and when they voted on it, the Republicans voted for no late-term abortions, and 100% of the Democrat congressmen and women, 100% voted against it, saying late-term abortions up until 9 months is perfectly fine. Every Democrat voted for to have late-term abortions with a viable fetus as okay. And all Congress was trying to do was to just say no late-term abortions with these babies being born alive, you know, and so that's why I was telling Rosemary about these videos that have come to light. So I personally, you know, I'm like Rosemary. I believe a woman has the choice to do what she wants, but I also feel that anything after 5.5 months, I really consider that late term, and I don't agree with that personally. 5 months being pregnant, even if you only found out you're pregnant when you're 3 months, you still have 2 months to make up your mind what you're going to do. You know, you still have a month or so. I'll be honest with you, after 16 weeks, I feel funny about it. That's just my personal feelings. But, yeah, Congress, you know, when the Congress tried to say no late-term abortions, 100% of the Democrats voted against it. What does that say about people? So they're going to go political on a human life? That's the part that I can't even wrap my brain around. I cannot wrap my brain around that. I just can't. And the fact that these babies are born alive, they're not malformed, they're perfectly healthy babies. I myself didn't know this was happening until the videos came out. I, just like the rest of the country, that is so barbaric. And you are 100% right, Rosemary. That is so, it's un-American. I mean, you're right. I don't know another word to say it. It's just, it's not who we used to be. But we've got such a large percentage of people in the country now that morals and ethics don't mean a thing to them. Their issue is just don't get caught. It's okay to cheat, lie, steal, just don't get caught. You know, and when they get caught, they show remorse, not that they did something wrong, they just show remorse that they were dumb enough to get caught. And it's really making me look at the world in a different way, just this one subject, you know?
Right, and here's the other thing with that, and this is something I said to Pat when we talked about it. So it is. I do not believe that everyone, and I know it sounds political, we're just making this point because of that bill. Okay, I don't believe that everybody's a Democrat, doesn't care, who's not God fearing, who doesn't believe. You know, doesn't believe in doing the right thing, because when we vote people into power, president or otherwise, they speak for the people, right? We the people. So I can't believe every Democrat out there regarding this bill, okay, as a person, could actually agree with the vote that happened. Only because when I saw these videos today and I had these nurses who were talking on there, they talked about how the baby would come out fully formed. This is a baby, like a fully formed, healthy baby. They would cut the spinal cord at the neck. If that didn't work, they would put an instrument in the soft spot at the top of the baby's head. Sometimes it went through the stomach, and one of the girls said, if that none of that worked, then the doctor would put a finger down the baby's throat until it stopped breathing. So the heart is still beating, and they cut this baby open, okay, and they make big money off of these parts. These women that work there looked away and couldn't stomach this. Even though they worked there, they looked away. If they had a huge baby, that means somebody, what they called a big baby, the way they refer to a big baby, that means that maybe at 5 or 6 months, it was as big as most babies are at full term. And they had trouble getting it out of the womb, even though they put this, I forgot what the stuff was called. They put the stuff inside to loosen up the cervix and stuff. If not, they would just vacuum out the parts and literally rip the baby apart, living baby, breathing baby here, rip it apart with blood everywhere, a perfectly healthy baby. It's not an American walking around or anybody that's decent, okay, that would actually stand and watch somebody murder a baby. Because that's kind of what it is. It's murder. This is not, it's a different thing if this is dead inside the womb or, you know, anything that happened here. But these babies who are coming out, and this one woman described this child that he thought he'd already killed, and the baby's little hand grabbed his finger and opened their eyes. How do you not have a heart and listen to that crap, okay? Because when I listened to that, I was just totally blown away, and there's more than one video on it. This is, I think, Pat, you talked about the guy that was laughing. They make so much money on this. I go, I'm going to get my new car now because somebody pays him. It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. And I can't, and I know that even the women that chose to do that, there is a part of them that they have to wonder. You have this huge bump in front of you. You have a baby kicking in you, and you're going to get rid of it. I have no idea what the rest of your life is, because I deal with people that had abortions, you know, when they made a mistake, not at 5 and 6 months, and they can't live with it and feel bad about it and always wonder about whether what that child would have been. Never mind somebody that goes to 5 and 6 months. What mindset do we have where nobody gives a damn anymore and this stuff goes on? So I think I'm going to write to local congressmen, and I'm going to put all these pointers out that we talked about tonight, because when they pass rules or laws here that affect the population, some real common sense has to be put into this so that the right action is taken for all concern. Not take away your rights, but if do you agree that, you know, you're murdering a fully formed baby that's coming out here, I think most people would agree with that. You know, that's not...
That's the thing with all the different people. Why didn't... This is what I'm saying. This is what I'm sitting here looking at it. I'm in the middle, okay? I believe in both. You know, I'm in the middle, definitely in the middle with this. But I'm thinking, why didn't all of these people, like you're talking about the Democratic people who don't agree with it, why weren't they in arms about this and writing their congressmen?
Right.
Why weren't they on TV protesting? All you saw were people who were pro-life. Those are the only people out there complaining about it. No, nobody else was complaining. And even right this minute, I've been a registered nurse since 1979. I worked SICU, which is surgical, which means horrific wound care. I've done everything, OR, ER, I've looked inside of bodies from head to toe, recovery room, you know, I've seen it all, okay? I've worked emergency room. But let me tell you what, just you talking about that, and see, I didn't watch the videos. I just saw the little snippets they had on the news. I have not watched the videos, okay? Just the little bit they'll show in the news. I am so sick right now, I could throw up. But I cannot, what the things you just told me, I didn't even know.
Yeah, I sat and watched them.
I couldn't watch
them. Because, you know, this is the one thing that Pat and I do, that when we talk about subjects, I don't want anybody to come back and say, and you know what started this? It was, I was talking to Pat about The View, you know, the program The View. I'm not going to say who on there because we didn't have any problems, but there was a representative there who was talking about baby parts being sold, and two of the people on The View outwardly said, no, that's not true, that's a lie, blah, blah, blah. So I'm talking to Pat about it, and she said, oh, no, that's not true. They sell baby parts and so on. So then when I go and find these videos and I listen to these three women especially talking, and see that there's a lot. There's not just one or two, there's a few.
There's eight of them, I think.
And there's a lot there. And if you actually sit and watch that, it turns your stomach over, because I don't believe that the average person in the street, because we don't get out of bed and go, oh, what do I think about abortion today, okay?
right.
When you actually, no, it's true. You know what I mean. Right. So it's true that we're not well informed. I mean, we know things, but we're not that well informed. But when you actually see that, you wonder why everybody doesn't know about it, or should they know about it and do something about it. I do not want to see us go back to the days of backstreet abortions.
No.
Of unsanitized instruments, people having infections, people who could bleed to death. I don't ever want to see that. I remember many years ago, Oprah Winfrey had a show. I'm just going to say this is kind of sickening, but I'm going to say it. Why not? We're on this subject. She had this lady on, and she was a really old lady on here, like maybe close to her 70s. And when she was a young girl and just married, her husband had worked sort of shift work, and they had an alleyway down the side of her house, and she had walked down there to get, it's like a little grocery store at the end. Anyway, it's just a short trip to the corner of her house. So on her way back, this man knocks her out and rapes her, but not only did he rape her, he put his hand inside of her and pulled all her intestines out. Now, you can't imagine that somebody survives that. So this woman, not only does she survive it, but she then discovers she's pregnant. Oh, can you just imagine? So that was back in the day when that was a big, huge issue. You didn't have abortions. Her husband was, okay, you know, we'll be all right with the baby, but she couldn't live with that. She's just gone through a horrendous experience, and she didn't think, not that she was the kind of person that wouldn't love a child, it was just the idea that you're going to look at this child that you have, and this is a rapist child, okay? So she wanted to seek an abortion, and without her husband knowing, she went to actually an abortionist who wanted her to have oral sex with him. I'm going to be polite and say it. So not only did she have this horror that she has to live with, but now she has to, you know, give somebody a blowjob here, okay? Before he would do it. And not only that, she had hemorrhaging, infection, and a whole nine yards. But she did live to tell the tale, and she came on Oprah Winfrey Show. So we do not want to ever go back to those days that people out of desperation do things, you know, where they can't. We're supposed to be in a civilized society here. We don't ever want to go back to those times in life. So there is a happy medium. There's a happy medium road here, where let's do the right thing. Let's make people aware of what really goes on, and let's put a stop to, you know, even if they pass those laws, there's going to be people who pay enough bucks and will still do that. But that's on them. We the people do not want to be responsible for condoning murdering fully formed babies, because that's really what that is. Okay, I don't condone that. After I saw that today and I heard the stories, it would just turn your stomach over. It's like, oh my God, I can't even imagine it. And especially there are so many people out there desperate to have a child. So they try for years and they can't have a baby and all this nonsense. And here you have people who really shouldn't be in the profession and call themselves doctors, okay, that you could take a life like that, a perfectly healthy baby, and destroy it. That should not be allowed. I understand the necessity under certain circumstances to have an abortion, but that's not it. Not the 5 months, 6 months, and I think most people would, not everybody's going to agree with me, but after, just go on YouTube, go and find that and look at those videos. You will be surprised at what you will learn. And that to me just changed my whole thought. Not that I'm against abortion, it's just that I'm against, there has to be some kind of moral rule here where politicians understand the whole picture, not black or white, yes or no. There's no such thing as that. Everybody has different circumstances. There are people who have terrible marriages and the husband comes home drunk and he sleeps with his wife and she can't afford to have another baby. I mean, there's a million stories of different reasons why it's not in the child's best interest to be brought into that environment, drug environment, alcohol environment, a violent environment, you name it, okay? There's a lot of reasons. A child having a baby, 14-year-old here, okay? Those are not, it's not reasonable to go, oh, yeah, you're supposed to have it, what, and suffer the rest of your life? When we have the means to take care of it humanely and in a very short period of time when it happens. So that's what I urge you. Write to your congressman and talk about this issue, because they're the ones, the politicians are the ones that bring this to the table every time to get votes, either side, not taking anybody's side here. Either side always has an issue to touch people on. And American people are.
We're better than that. We're better than that. Yeah.
That, right. I'm not American, but I really am. I'm not American, but there are so many good people here. And we're this country is a great country, and you didn't want to see the decline in these things that go on, and then what next? What next? What comes after that? So. I'm gonna let Pat talk a little bit, and then we're gonna go and take calls. And I also want to tell you that we're gonna talk about some really controversial subjects in the coming weeks because we think it's important. We're gonna talk about sexuality next week, and you'll be surprised to learn what goes on in our school system. So yeah, you will. Yeah, we're laughing. It's really not funny. So, okay, do you have any other thoughts on what we're just talking about here before we take calls?
I just want people to have compassion for one another. You know, if we can get to the point on a spiritual plane here, if we can not judge each other, that to me is the main thing. So many women have this subconscious, it's not just subconscious. They really have so much guilt and shame about this topic that we have. I just want people to forgive themselves. I want people to forgive the situation. And when I say forgive yourself, I don't mean like you're a horrible, horrible person and you're going to go to hell and you got to ask for forgiveness. It's just this. If you had an abortion, that you can't undo it, okay? You can't go back in time. I wish we had a time machine and change your decision. So just know you did the best you could at the time. And at that point in time, if that was right for you, that was right for you. But try not to let it be such a sore spot that never heals in you that it stops you from having joy. It stops you from having a complete and full loving life. That's the main thing I want people to realize, that when you use the words forgive, it just means that you give yourself a break here and you say, you know, I did the best I could at the time, and I have to move forward. And so don't let that be something that stops you from fulfilling your mission while you're on the planet. Don't let it stop you from having loving relationships. You know, don't let it be something that you never heal from. You may never be the same after it happened, but you can take that experience, and if you whatever choice and the way you feel about it, there's someone else that you can either give wise counsel to. You can say, I did it, I went through it, and I'm still here, and I'm okay. Or you can say to someone, I did it, I would never do it again. Let's see if we can't work this out. You know, whatever your experience is, you'll be able to have that wisdom within you to help somebody else that's in the same situation. Or if nothing else, just don't judge other people. Even if you don't help anybody else and you don't ever talk about it, you don't have to talk about it. But just if we can quit judging each other and quit judging ourselves, because as long as you're judging yourself over that, there's a part of you that will not grow. And you're not going to have a full life experience with the rest of the time you have here. So give yourself a break. And I just really wish people would just don't let it be such an issue that you can't feel love, you can't have a full, healthy life. That's the main thing I want people to get out of it.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And I want to say, too, that when we started talking about that, at least 4 people dropped off. So, you know, the people that have listened to this, and maybe it's just something they'll give up to, when people do that all the time, when they just bury their head and they say, oh, I don't want to hear that, I don't want to hear, you know, it may be unpleasant, but it's a fact of life. And I really thank everybody who's up here that I can see for hanging in and listening to this. Because it was not set in judgment, I can tell you that. It was just, here are the facts, here's how we feel about it, not the views of the radio station, but our views, and it's nothing against anybody that's listening here. It's just, this is what we decided to do, and actually doing more controversial subjects are, it's not such a bad idea, because those are reality checks. So some people might, you know, hair might turn gray next week when we talk about sexuality.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Did you look it up, the stuff I was telling you?
Yes.
I wasn't making that up. I bet you thought, sure, Pat, uh-huh.
No. That's what I think. When I look at stuff, that's what you always do. Don't ever believe somebody just because they say it. Always check your...
That's what I tell people. Go look it up.
You can't go on the radio and say something and then go, well, that's not true. Well, yes, it is. You just go find it. Okay.
I always say, go Google it yourself. Don't listen to me.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, so our first caller is 971-275. Who patiently sat through all that. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, what is your...
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear. It cut out.
What is your name?
My name is Kay. Hi, Kay. What's your question? My question is, am I able to ask outside of the abortion thing?
No, that was just our subject matter.
I listened to it from the beginning, and I just wanted to say, you know, aside from what I'm going to ask you, like, thank you for sharing that information. A lot of people out there just don't really know where to, you know, reach out for help or feel ashamed, and, you know, people shouldn't really feel ashamed about making these decisions.
Exactly.
So thank you for that. But my question actually is job-wise. I'm looking for work right now, and I'm starting to feel super frustrated.
Okay.
So...
Are you going first, Pat?
What I was picking up is I'm hearing 6 months. So have you either been looking for 6 months?
I mean, I have, you know, I freelance at the moment. So I just finished a contracted position about a month ago. And, you know, funds are slowly dissipating and they need to...
Right. I was hearing 6 months, so I was hoping that didn't mean it was going to be 6 months before. Are you looking to get out of the contract? Because what I've also heard, so that makes sense to me. I was hearing 6 months, and then what I heard was 2 to 3 in between. So do you have the opportunity for 2 or 3 more contracts to come up?
I'm just looking right now, and I've applied to about 30 jobs today. I'm still sitting here, you know, taking breaks here and there, but I need to probably prepare for tomorrow just to keep looking. But I mean, I've just been on it.
I guess the 6 months then is what I'm picking up. Let me go a little deeper here because I'm afraid that means it'll be 6 months before you're, and keep in mind when we do these readings like this on the radio, you know, a private reading goes really deep, and we have lots more detail. So it's kind of like stuff that comes in quickly. I guess what I'm picking up is that it might be April before you get like full time. Are you wanting to get out of the contract work?
Yes.
And get
absolutely.
A full time. That's what I'm feeling. So I'm feeling like April. But I do think you're going to have two to three more in that length of time. You will have work. And it'll probably be along the lines of what you're doing now. But I think if you're wanting to get out of this and do something full time, I'm here in April. But I'm hearing creative flow. Are you not doing what your passion is? Are you not doing anything creative as far as what makes you happy? Because they're telling me that, you know, I always ask people when I do the first reading for them, what's your passion in life? Because that's very important. Some people it's writing or artistic, music, gardening, sewing, cooking, animals, nature. I feel like you're not doing anything that gets you connected back to God, to spirit, so to speak. They're just telling me your creative flow is blocked. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I've just been so frustrated, you know, like I've set aside all the things that I want to do creatively and my brain just can't work, even though I have it in front of me. So you know, now I just go to the gym because that's the only thing I can do right now to get rid of a lot of
those anxiety and stress, right?
Yeah, super stressed.
It's just baby steps. You know, you don't want to overwhelm yourself because when we do have stress worrying about money, it's debilitating. So the thing that I do, I've been in that situation myself, is that I start showing gratitude for every single thing in my life, because when you take your mind, look at this, everything's energy. I will say this to the day I die. And what I mean by that is that energy is, you know, we can't see it. It's invisible, right? We don't see electricity. We don't see energy. But what energy means is a thought. When you have a thought in your brain, when you actually think the dog is yellow, okay, you have created an energy form inside your brain of the dog is yellow. And your brain hears the dog is yellow. You've now created a picture of a yellow dog in your brain. That's all energy. Okay, and then if you were to speak that sentence out loud, the dog is yellow, that energy from the spoken word goes out to the whole ripple effect of the universe, but it stays in your auric field around your body. Okay, it's like the ripple effect. It's in your energy field all the time. So we have to be very careful what we think and where we put our minds, because if you're negative and you're depressed and you're anxious and you're worried, that's in your energy field. And it's a vicious cycle, because I've said this for 100 years, you know, when we put a thought form out there, it's like a boomerang. It comes back to us. And I never could figure out the missing link. Well, about 2-3 months ago, scientists, I think in the UK, just discovered that part of the actual chemical makeup of the fluid in our brain cells is magnetized. It's magnetic. So there you go. You have created this thought form of, I'm so anxious, I'm so worried, oh, my God, I'm not going to be able to have a roof over my head. You're thinking that, you've created that. Then it's like conception when you speak it. But that magnet in your brain, that magnetic fluid in your brain, is bringing all that stuff right back to you. Do you see what I'm saying? It's that energy, because energy is electricity. Electricity is electromagnetic. That's our auric field around our body. It's a living, breathing entity. The energy field around our body is electromagnetic, that word magnetic. So whatever you're thinking, my point is, whatever you're thinking, it stays in your energy field, and whatever you're projecting as a thought to the universe, to the world, to your neighbors, that energy is going to draw back to your brain what you're thinking. So if you're thinking stress and anxiety, that's going to come back to you tenfold. So if you let go of the stress and anxiety and take a deep breath and just breathe, just do deep breathing and say, this is going to work out. Something better is coming. God, help me. I will do whatever it is you want me to do. I'm here, ready to do it. I'm letting go of fear, because that's the number one block for your creative flow, that you can't concentrate, and it will block you from getting the kind of job you want. Fear. Fear is the most debilitating, besides grief, fear is the most debilitating emotion we have as human beings, and it's extremely powerful. So I would say to you, start changing the way you think about what's going on. And the way I did it for myself, I was in such fear at one point, I would wake up and see the ceiling and go, thank you, God, I'm alive. Because I used to say, how long do I have to stay here on planet Earth? I'm ready to go. It's too much. So I switched it. I said, thank you, God. I'm alive today, okay? My mission's not complete, okay? And all throughout the day, I would just say, thank you, thank you, thank you, because I'm part Indian, so I call it spirit. I say, thank you, spirit, you know, thank you. I would just start thinking, spirit, I've got a roof over my head. I've got people who love me. I've got great friends. I love my horses. I have horses. You know, everything I've ever wanted in my life, I've got it. I was a registered nurse. I raised horses. Thank you. Now, okay, how can I be creative and start getting some money in here? How can I be creative and start getting getting my message out to the world? Well, you know what happened, Kay? I went from being in the bed with rheumatoid and all these illnesses that I had on disability to now I'm on 3 different radio shows, readings every day, just about helping people find their God, their peace, their bliss, their life. I'm doing my work. And it all started the day I started changing the way I look at my life and being grateful, and I just let go of all the fear. I let go of the fear. Totally let go of the fear. You just let go of the fear and start changing the way you think, and that will help you. But on a psychic level here, I'm seeing like April before it's full time, you will have 2 or 3 contract jobs in between, and I'm going to shut up and throw to Rosemary.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Okay, I do see something in and around February, and I'm seeing it more towards the latter half of April, so I'm thinking I'm also seeing April too. There's a couple of other things in here too. where you are you an independent contractor, or do you work for a company and do contracts for a company?
I'm an independent contractor.
So before today, who you worked through, there was somebody, I know this is going to sound off the wall, but there was somebody that didn't do the right thing by you in your workplace, meaning that you could have had better contracts or things that paid more. There was a person that was not completely honest or not, and I don't know if you know that or if you felt that. Like it's like when somebody says, oh, yeah, we're going to give you, you're going to be fine, we're going to give you blah, 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 and then you get there, they go, okay, we have this for you, and you're thinking, oh, I thought I was going to get, and you're not getting it. There's somebody that purposely sabotaged you, okay, which sounds, I know it sounds insane, but anyway, take from it whatever you will from the phone reading here. The other thing is do you have a young man that's a family member in spirit?
Not that I know of, no.
Is it somebody that you know, like a close friend or an ex-boyfriend, or is it there's somebody? It's somebody young, like in around your age group.
That passed over?
Yes.
No, I don't know anyone around my age group that's passed over.
So there's, anyway, just take it for what it is. There's someone there on the other side will help you get what you want. Because I'm seeing, even though this is a little bit of a struggle, and I want you to believe in the divine, okay, you're going to get past this before you know it. We'll be into next year, and then it's the sky's the limit. You're going to leave a lot of things behind that you don't need, and your mind will be so focused next year that from that time, springtime onwards, you will have things flow way better than they have done in this last year. It's going to be a better year for you all around next year. So I think it's going to be good.
That's really nice to hear. But you don't see any, like, even short projects coming in this month or next?
Yeah, it might be February. I don't know if it's before Christmas, but I do see something around February. But I just don't, I think it's just that you have to mill through it. You know, I hate to say that, but like everybody does. But you just have to get through it. And like Pat said, you know, there'll be things coming along, but there's something more substantial, that's the word I want to use, in April that kind of goes, okay, that's what I want. That's what I need. That's going to give me the money I want. It's going to be that. It's going to be around the springtime, or I'm going to say towards the end of April. Okay?
Yeah. Okay. Okay, thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. And thanks for calling in. Okay. Let me see. We have, I don't see who's waited the longest here. Okay, area code 828256. Hello? Hello? Okay, maybe they're not listening. Hello, are you there? I don't know. Whoever it is, it's not. Okay. All right. Let me just mute that. Okay. 561-855.
Hi. My name is Monica.
Okay.
Hey,
hi,
Monica.
Hi. I forgot I wasn't calling on my cell phone. I heard 855. I didn't think that was me. It's my house phone. I had a question. About, like, my boyfriend that I had been dating for a while, he's struggling with addiction, and, you know, he's left me a few times, never came home, and always taken him back, but I'm trying to figure out, I'm starting to talk to other people, and I'm just wondering, you know, if my ex is going to try and come back, and because I'm trying to close that door. And I'm talking to someone that I really do think I'm interested in, so.
Okay, let me see. Who's Victor? Is there a Vic or a Vinny?
No.
Write that name down. I don't know if you want to go first, Rosemary, or not. I don't know. That just popped out real strongly.
Okay. All right, I will. So the boyfriend that wants to, or you're interested in rekindling, this person has someone else in their life. Are you aware of that?
Well, I figured he was talking to someone else or trying to.
Yeah, so there's, so what? Here's what the problem is with that. I'm not a great believer in going back, even if it was great, but there's always a reason it ended, okay, why you're not together anymore. So then when you try and rekindle it, and there's a third person here, that is also not a good thing. It is fine if somebody's, like, totally clear in their mind, they're not flirting or being with anybody else at all, and then they go, you know what, she was great. I'm going to see if we can, you know, moved on here. What if we can do something? But this is an obstacle. You do not want to be on the back burner for somebody. You do not want to be convenient for someone else ever. You don't ever want to do that. So to me, that's not going to work because I'm not seeing love here. You know, like we're going to be in love and this is going to happen. To me, it seems like you'll take on a burden and not be totally clear with what's going on.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, he just left. We live together and everything, but, you know, he's constantly never coming home because he's out drinking because he's struggling with sobriety. And I think I'm just over it now.
But it's not even that. When he's drinking, he's too friendly with everybody else. Not that, you know, not being going to be vulgar here, but not that he can perform anything when you're drunk, okay? But what I'm trying to say is that he's not totally, this is this, something that he chose rather than go, I have a chance to sober up and be with a really decent person here. So he's not, mm-hmm. he's not making good choices. So it's not going to, there's going to be such a lack of communication here that it's just not a good thing. It's just not. So, and yeah. I also see him, his health is going to deteriorate because I do not see him kicking this habit. So then he's going to be not worth your while in the future because that's not a husband that you want, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So as far as, there are a couple of other things here. As far as finances concerned, I do see you making great money here. If you're not doing it now, you will down the road. I do see, like, opportunities coming by the summer. Like, it's a destiny thing. It's like you're going to get on your feet. You're going to do better. You're going to move forward. And maybe because of opportunity coming to you on a financial level, it's going to put you around a different group of people. Maybe there's going to be mm-hmm. newer opportunities, newer environment for you to meet somebody else. This is just part of your vibe now, but it's not a good thing because it to me, it's like disastrous. It's like the effort to make something work where only one person is making the effort, and that one person is you.
And
it's too much. It's too hard for you. Okay, and you can't do it. You just can't do it. You get so fed up in the end where you go, what the hell am I thinking here? Okay?
That's how I feel.
Yeah. So that's what I think. That's my take on that. Okay, Pat?
Mm-hmm.
Are you there, Pat?
Oh, God, oh, I'm sorry. I had it on mute. I'm sorry. Monica. Well, I don't want y'all to hear my cat that talks every time I get on the radio. Sox is over here. She's been quiet tonight, actually. I've got this one cat that if I put her out in my bedroom, she literally bangs on the door when I'm on the radio. So I leave her in here praying to God she's going to keep her mouth shut. And tonight she's been quiet. Okay, but anyway, I look at life this way, Monica. Life, the planet Earth, the reason we come back here is to learn lessons, to evolve our soul, and to help other people, to teach what we already know. Okay, now, being here is like being in third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, whatever. We have to have a test at the end of each year, right, before you can go to the next class, the next year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you look at the situation with this guy is that you get the lesson until you get the lesson. One of my mentors told me that 30 years ago, and I had to wrap my brain around that one. But we get the same lessons in life until we finally get that lesson and we succeed, then we go on to the next. So
mm-hmm.
instead of worrying about him, I want to make sure you look at you and figure out what is it about you that is attracting someone that is disrespectful to you, that doesn't put you first, and that whether, I mean, this is the same as like someone who's with a married man or whatever. There
mm-hmm.
was a person who you can never be first. Mm-hmm. Because this addiction is a disease, and it will always come first, even when they're off the wagon. So if you don't sit down before you get into another relationship and write down what it is you learned from this relationship about yourself, your strengths, your weaknesses, if you haven't, it's like taking that third grade final exam. Before you go to another relationship, really do some soul searching about this, because if you haven't gotten the lesson of why he was in your life, guess what? The lesson's going to come with a different face, a different name, and you're going to have the same problem. Okay. So you have to look at yourself and say, what is it about me that allows someone to hurt my feelings, make me angry, you know, pushes my buttons, I don't come first, and they're the needy ones, and I'm always been the nurturing, supporting, oh, we can get through this, I love you so much, you can get better,
exactly.
I'm here for you. You're being the nurse, okay?
Yeah.
What is it about yourself that makes you feel like you need to be needed? Some people, and I'm not saying exactly that, but some people really do feel like they want to be needed. Okay, that means they're not on solid ground with themselves. Because when you give to another person, there's no strings attached. When you're really giving from the heart and you're giving in the right way, whether they accept the gift, whether they get better, whether he's healed and he has a wonderful life, that's not why you're giving and trying to help him. But if you're giving to someone with thoughts of getting something back out of it, that's not giving. That's manipulation and control. So I would say look at why you feel like you want to mother him. Were you not mothered enough yourself? You know, what is it? Go into the psychology of it and be really honest, because I promise you, you're going to attract the same kind of situation. It'll be a drug addict or a sex addict or another alcoholic or an abuser. You've got to figure out and stand on your own two feet and realize that in a relationship, you want them there because you want them there, not because you need them there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that two halves don't make a whole. It's two whole people coming together. So if your self-esteem is kind of in the gutter and there's a subconscious feeling you have to have a boyfriend, you have to have a man, you have to have a relationship, I would stop very quickly and say why. Why do I have to have a person? Why? I would get to know me before I put another person in my relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I'd get to know my strengths, my weaknesses, and why am I doing what I do. That's what Spirit's telling me to tell you, is before you jump into another relationship, you make sure that get to the point that you can take that third grade test and pass it, that you don't need to have to mother people. And when we feel like we want to mother people or nurse them, that's because we feel like we need to be needed, and there you go. That's a whole dysfunction there, and you're going to attract the same person that needs you, and what happens is you're going to help, and then you get resentful, and then you get angry, and then you get your feelings hurt because you're putting all your time, your love, your energy, your money, your effort into a relationship when you're not getting anything out of it but pain, pain, and more pain, right?
Yeah.
And then depression, and you don't feel respected, and they don't appreciate what all you've done.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So when you get to the point that you want a person who's on level ground that you can have a really healthy relationship with, jump to the next one. But I would take some time to think about all of this before I go to another relationship. And I'm totally what Rosemary said. I would not go backwards. Because you're just easy for him. He knows you're going to put up with his stuff. He knows you've done it 100 times. All he has to do is sweet talk you, tell you how much he loves you. He misses the old times, and then you get all nostalgic and romantic, and, oh, maybe it'll be better this time. That's just this vicious cycle that will never end until somebody stops it.
Uh-huh. Great.
Well, it's not depressing. It's really, to me, it's knowing the more self-knowledge we have, the more power we have, and the better choices we make about our life. So I look at it as an adventure. This is a lesson that you met this guy. Okay, so this lesson was about dealing with people who have addiction problems, and I've already given so much time, love, and energy, and what did I learn from it? It's never enough because it's their problem, not mine.
Yeah, I learned that.
Okay, well,
no.
If that's what you learned, then you're going to say, you know what? I don't need that anymore. I need someone that's going to be giving to me as much as I'm giving to them and who really appreciates me.
Mm-hmm.
And can see with a clear head and is moving forward with their life, because an addicted person is not moving forward. They're just like a spiraling down the drain.
Yeah, it's like
negative energy.
Him.
Yeah. So that's a good thing to me that you've learned this and you're going to say, hey, the next person is going to be positive and I'm putting my energy where it's going to grow into something beautiful instead of something depressing.
Mm-hmm.
So look at it from the good side.
Yeah, that helps.
Just look and say, I learned from this guy, next. I'm ready for something different now.
Yeah.
So just, with the, I'm going to tell you this, I'm going to shut up. I'm kind of on a roll tonight. I'm going to tell you right now, your gut instincts are 100% real. And you know when you first met that guy, there was a flag that happened, and you just ignored it because you wanted a boyfriend and you knew things, you could help him. Okay, there's your lesson. The next time this new guy that you've met, the first time you see one of those red flags, you stop immediately and don't you blow it off.
Yeah, I need to listen to my
You start listening
voice.
To your gut instincts because that's your warning signal system. That's spirit trying to tell you, wait a minute, slow down here, something ain't right.
Yeah.
But be happy. Yeah. Just be glad you've had this experience. You know, don't beat yourself up about it and say, look what I learned.
Yeah, I did learn a lot, so
yeah.
That's a good thing.
You learned how strong you are.
Yeah, I really have the last few months.
Well, good for you. I'm going to shut up now. I'll keep talking. I don't know why I'm wired tonight. I'm on a roll here.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for calling. Okay, Pat, give
you.
Out your – thank you.
Thanks, Monica.
Give out your phone number and – how people can get a hold of you, and then we're going to go to 559-415.
Okay, my phone number for a private reading is 918-623-0064. My email is patrivers33@gmail.com, and there's two T's in the Pat, patrivers33@gmail.com. My Facebook page is River Spirit Messages, and I have a radio show Thursday night, and it was at 9 o'clock Central, but I'm putting it back with daylight savings. I'm putting it back to 8 o'clock Central, so it'll be 9 o'clock Eastern, and that's with my co-host Amelia Palombit. We have topics, and I do lots of reading. So, is that everything? I think that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. My phone number is 727-524-1010, and my website is rosemaryfox.com. I'm also on book as Rosemary Fox too, and I don't think, I know it's a common name, but I don't think there's that many psychic Rosemary Foxes on there. So anywho, let's go to 559-415. Hello
ladies.
Hi. What's your name?
What is your name, and what is your question?
Okay, my name is Evelyn, and I'm debating whether to ask for a mediumship reading or for a career. So
I couldn't hear the first part of what you said.
I'm sorry, my name is Evelyn. I'm on the fence of whether to ask about my career or about a mediumship reading.
Oh, a mediumship.
Yeah,
is that what you're saying?
What you mean,
yes.
Mediumship as in contact in spirit?
Yes.
Okay. Ask about your career, because I hate doing that on the radio.
Okay. Okay,
right.
Fine. My career. I don't know. At times I feel confident that I'm on the right track, and at others I feel like, why the heck am I doing this? So I think I'm looking for a reassurance or for some kind of guidance.
Are you going to go first, Pat?
Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, I think that this is going to sound weird. I think you've been on the wrong track, and you're moving forward on the right track, okay? I think whatever it has been before or whatever you're in here, you're going to move out of that, and there's going to be an opportunity to expand yourself. Here's the what I'm getting here, and it doesn't feel totally like self-employment, but do you work where you get just a variation of money, you know, that it's up and down, not just one paycheck?
No, it's one paycheck a month.
Okay. Because I'm seeing, like, the more thought, okay, put into how much you're going to make, and so I'm thinking it's a job, but at the same time, I feel like what you have or what you're doing, there's too much pressure here where I think that you will leave this job, but I don't feel that you will leave until, I'm going to say, March, April time. I do feel that you're going to work in a new career. I do not know what you're doing, but there's something new coming for you where whatever pressure you have on top of you, whatever drum is beating here, is going to end with a new job and a new opportunity next year. I'm really leaning more towards March. Sometimes they give windows of time, like middle of February to April or around about that. I mean, you can't always be spot on with that, but that's what it feels like. I don't think that you're going to change your job before the end of this year, but there's certainly changes in how you make money and opportunities that's coming your way. So I do feel I don't want you to miss anything that's good for you, because somehow this making money is an idea that comes from somebody else. If you're just having a regular paycheck now, there's an idea that's going to come to you, which is we can do this. I'm not so sure if it's a partnership per se, that it's like we could do this and we can make money at doing this, and I don't feel it's necessary where you are. There's an offshoot of what you're doing. It's not what you're doing now with the money that you're making now. It's something more than that. Or the only thing that you have to be cautious of is not to worry too much and overload yourself. Don't allow people to put on you or expect more from you, because on an emotional level you won't be able to do it. And that's what I feel.
Okay. Great.
What I'm picking up, I don't know exactly what it is you do, but I'm hearing resources and social services. So I feel like, I don't know what it is you're doing, but I almost can see you, and what Rosemary was saying about the spring, I was feeling the same time period. And I don't know if it's going to be this spring, but I feel like eventually I see you doing a job that really is helping people. And I don't know, I think it's, is it people who maybe... I don't know if it's a volunteer company or if it's through the government, but it's helping people get the resources they need, like housing and their food stamps. And it's like a coordinator somehow to help people. I don't know how to say this because I've never done this. I've just been a nurse my whole life. It's some kind of resources, almost like a social services, like you help people with their medical stuff. Is that kind of what you're doing now with helping people set up appointments and finding resources for people?
No, it's not. I'm actually an educator, and I'm just, sometimes I have my days where I feel like I'm doing a great job.
Right. Well, the very first thing they told me was for you to change, is you're going to need different, some more education. So I was hearing like social working. You know what I'm saying? That was the very first thing they said to me, is like social worker, and I didn't feel like that was right. That's what I'm saying. I don't think it's what you're doing now, but it's something that you could do to help other people, like have like caseworking. I don't know if you can take other classes and move into that, or maybe guidance counseling, because it's mm-hmm. helping people. It's more than what you're doing now. It's different. It's like she was saying. It's close to it, but there's a difference. So I don't know if it would be like going to guidance counseling or helping these helping other families. But I just feel like it's more of an outreach. That's the word I'm looking for. Maybe being a coordinator some kind of way. But you do need to get, I feel like you're going to have to get more education to change whatever it is you're doing. And you have one of the most thankless jobs on the planet. Are you a teacher then, you're saying?
Yes.
My mom was a teacher, and she ended up getting her PhD in it. And I couldn't decide if I was going to be a teacher or a nurse. So mom said, come be my seventh hour aide and see how you like it. Well, I went to nursing school. So I'm just telling you, my mom worked in the inner city. People were slashing our tires, breaking windshields, you know, calling us on the phone. It was horrible. So teachers, really, I love teachers, because I'll never forget the teachers that really made an impact on me, good or bad. I remember those people, and I remember their names. You know, so influential in shaping the minds and the hearts and the spirits of these young children that are coming up. And it's one of the most thankless jobs, but it's just like being a nurse. It's the job that you'll love to hate, because as many times as my job I would have people die, I saw so many miracles. You know, just being there and talking to a person that's in a coma and they come out and they say, I heard you talk about such and such, you know, when you can inspire people to be better and to give them hope, there's nothing greater that we can do for another person except die for them, you know, like a soldier. So just know that you of course, are going to have good and bad days. But I feel like if you want to get out of the classroom, you're going to have more education. But I still feel like it's talking, helping, getting resources for people. So like I said, maybe it's in the guidance counseling or either up the, you know, vice principal or principal. But you're going to need to get more education if you're going to change.
It's funny that you mentioned that. I was thinking of becoming a guidance counselor.
Okay, well, that's what
maybe you have to get my master's, and now that you mentioned it, it makes sense.
Yeah, because the very first thing I heard when Rosemary was talking was social work, like a social worker. And I said, no, she's not a social worker, but that's what that is. You know, you're talking to people, and like as a guidance counselor, if a kid comes in and they don't have electricity in their home and they don't have food, you're going to be reaching out to help them get those resources as their guidance counselor.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You're going to be making phone calls to get them their resources. So that all makes sense to me now. It's perfect. That's what I feel.
Well, thank you so very much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. And thank you for being a great teacher. Just never give up.
I just want to ask you, I want to ask you one thing before you get off. I don't know what it is to me tonight. All right, so is there a young man, and I had this with this other caller, even though I can hear an echo here. Is there a young man that overdosed on drugs around you that you know that died?
Not that overdosed, but there's a young man that I know that did die. I don't know if he was using drugs at the time.
But is it this, because I got this with the other person, there was something, and I'm thinking, who is this? Okay, so this person did take some kind of pills, so maybe he didn't die from that, but he did take pills. So did you know that? He did, you know, stuff.
No, but I was wondering if he did, because when I met him, he never did drugs. He was, you know.
Right.
Never. So there was a period of time where we stopped communicating, and I've always wondered if he did.
Yes, he did.
So
I think that he just went down that road. I don't think he was a bad person either. I don't think he was a bad person at all.
No.
But he also changed with that. He changed with that. Even though I said I wasn't going to do mediumship, I hate doing it on the phone. But he changed with his attitude changed, and he became more withdrawn and not so friendly and more secretive. And I don't know if you noticed that with him or something where he didn't say much or didn't have much to say. But I'm going to tell you this, and that's one of the things we're going to do on one of the shows. We're going to talk about suicides and people that pass away through certain, you know, unusual circumstances. I'm going to tell you that he is with God. He's absolutely with God, no matter what he did or did not do on this earth. That's where he's at. And I know people don't want to believe that sometimes if someone did something they shouldn't do. That's not true. He is over there with God. He has God watching over him. And I think the only reason that he's wanted me to tell you that is for you to find some peace in it, okay? And I don't even know how much that matters to you, but it seems to matter to him. Okay.
No, it does matter to me. I think my guardian angel as well. And there has been years that I didn't speak to him, so I just wondered about him.
That's not Ralph, is it?
No.
Okay. I'm just
does Ralph still bother you?
Call him Ralph.
Does Ralph still bother you?
That
was
what?
No, Ralph. Ralph. No, Ralph was my good friend. Remember,
It is you. You're the lady with Ralph.
Yes, but he was an awesome. Ralph was an awesome. Ralph, no.
Oh, I know.
Ralph
I'm just
was,
saying. I'm just going from memory that your energy all of a sudden Ralph popped in my head, and I said, "Oh my gosh, this is that lady I talked to that time with the turquoise banner and the wind chimes." And I finally found you, and it's Ralph, right?
Yes, Ralph. Ralph is
a very
kind soul.
Right.
I think when Ralph passed, the heavens probably opened. I mean, honestly, he was a very kind soul.
Right.
So,
okay, I'm just saying, all of a sudden he came to my mind, and I thought, this is that same lady. Okay.
Oh, how funny.
Okay.
No, but did he leave you alone after that?
Yeah, he did.
He did?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you mentioned to me that he was buried in his and his jeans, and I'm like, yep, he was.
Yeah.
And I felt bad. I met with his sister about 3 weeks ago, and I told her that, you know, she's had dreams about him, and I think she didn't take – I told him, you know what, he's probably come and visit you, and she told family members that I was very inappropriate.
Uh-oh.
So I – yeah, because I told her, you know, he's probably, you know, in heaven and he's watching over you and the dreams are real. But I thought that Ralph was compelled, wanted me to tell his sister that he was okay.
Yeah.
But I think his sister did not like the fact that I told her that. And
you know what, though? It'll go into her subconscious and he'll still be got the message out, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, because I felt bad. Then I was like, me and my big mouth, that I should just stay quiet.
Nah, don't worry about it. You did exactly what he wanted you to do. Rosemary, this lady here, Evelyn, I had that spirit Ralph that came around for 6 solid weeks
yeah,
every time I did a reading. Well, this is her. Right. She was called in on the radio, and all of a sudden Ralph jumped in again. I'm like, oh, my God. I just told him earlier that day, if you want me to give a message, you got to bring them to me because I can't go find your people for you. And that night Evelyn called in, and I said, Ralph, and that I finally found Ralph's person. So that's who this is, Rosemary.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm glad.
The time's getting on now. I know we've kept you longer. It's our fault.
Okay.
But we have to. There are some other people that we have to take.
Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Take care, Evelyn.
Bye bye.
Bye. Okay. We're going to go to area code 941-439. Hello? 941-439, hello? Okay, no. All right. That's okay. That just makes more room for everybody else. I know that sounds awful. Okay, 502, maybe close that out. Okay, 502-310. Oops, wait a minute. Oh, I got 883. Oh, let me go do this one. 830-998, hello?
Hello.
Hi. Do you have a question?
Yes. I was wondering if either of you ladies could tell me what my mission is supposed to be in life.
Oh, God. That's such a heavy question. What is your first name?
All right. Maybe it's going to be more about what it is that you have to do or you mentally have to do or find in yourself. So that the idea comes to you about what it is that you do. Because I always think that when we have a quandary or a puzzle or you think, okay, why am I here? What's the purpose of me being here? Sometimes it's something as simple as being a great comfort to somebody else. Although I don't actually think that about you. I think that your mission is sort of leadership. I know that might sound ridiculous to you, but I think that you're like a natural leader, Amber. And if you're not doing a career or in the position of doing something like that or rising to the top or working over people, then that's where you should be. There's some kind of fulfillment for you in so much as feeling, okay, now I feel happy. That's what I'm supposed to do or feel that what I'm supposed to do. So that's what I think about you. I think that I don't feel there's going to be a problem in money. I don't think money's an issue. I don't know altogether where it comes from, whether it's work or family or some other means here. But I do feel that abundance is not a problem. But I do feel there's somewhat of thinking about jobs. So are you actually in a job right now? Because I'm not so sure about that. I'm seeing like a tired feeling or energy that's like, I don't want this or I'm not doing this. So I'm wondering if you're still in a job. No, not right now.
All right. So that's what it is. You're supposed to, let me see. Okay. Is Amber supposed to get a job this year? Okay. What about next year? Okay, I do see you having an opportunity, but something that you may not take before this year is out. I do see, it's the same as these other people we had, somewhere around the March, springtime. There's something magical about the spring next year because that's about 2 or 3 people that we've told this spring, or Pat may not see the same as me, but with that, but I'm feeling like springtime. I do feel that there is a change going on with you. Maybe it's an overall change. Maybe you're going to change the way you look and redecorate. There's some energy shift here that's going to make you look at things differently. But you definitely are going to move on here. You're not going to, there's a discontent where you work or what you, it's almost like drudge to me. It may even be an interesting job, but the emotional side of it feels drudging or dragging to me, and where you're putting on your thinking cap and thinking, is this all there is for me? And the answer is no. It maybe sometimes necessity is a mother of invention, and we move forward or do things because we're supposed to. And there's way more for you than what any kind of light that's filling your life right now. So what do you think, Pat?
I sort of feel like I'm being held back or blocked.
But part of that, you can clear yourself. You can absolutely do that yourself. You just have to realize that, how can I put it? Sometimes all of us wake up sometimes not in the best mood, miserable for nothing. I mean, myself included, and I just have to snap out of it. You have to look at yourself and go, okay, I feel like I'm blocked, so why is that? What is it that I need to do to change that? Because you're powerful enough as a person to not allow someone to get the better of you or to use that very good gut instinct of yours to put you in a different place, emotionally and around people. You have to realize that you can stand in your own power and that you have the ability to do that. And so you can, there are people that write books that says, decide to be happy now. And that's what I say to you. Decide to be happy now. Get up and go, okay, what is it that I'm not happy with? And make a shopping list. Write it down. What do I need to change? Do I like this job? No, it's okay. You need to move. And you need to, and you won't do anything impatiently. That's the thing. I do think that you think about things before you do it. I don't see this impulsive, let's jump in the fire kind of personality here. I think that you will look and go, what is it I need to do? I need some excitement. I need some drive and some movement in my life. And you will make it yourself, because we all have to get up in the morning and do that. We all have to go, okay, let's not be miserable. Things are not that bad. Let's go for it.
Right. I understand that. Excuse me. Sorry. I understand that. I was just wondering if you might be able to see what it was that's causing me to be blocked.
I do think it's a past thing. I think there are things from your past that are still in your subconscious, and we all have that. Things where things have been said or done, or issues even from childhood. What it is that you are capable of more than what you're doing now. And if you can't see the reason why is the only reason that you've got to go, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to step out of myself. I know what I do. I often listen to seminars. Like I get in my email, I get things from Margaret Lynch is one of them, and they're really uplifting. And sometimes I need to do that. I need to sit and listen and I think, oh, okay, that's good. Just makes me feel like I'm supposed to feel without not being realistic at what I mean. And then I have the right attitude, and then that energy brings what I need for me to move on and for me to have what I need to do.
Hmm.
Are you there,
okay,
Pat?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay.
I tell you what, March and April is going to be a heck of a time for a lot of people, because all my shows and your shows too, we're all coming up with that same time period. Something's going to happen.
Right. Something crazy.
But Amber, what I'm picking up, have you ever thought about being in business for yourself?
Yes.
Okay, because that's what I was picking up, that I feel like I'm cracking up because it's that March time period again. That's why I'm prefacing it with that. I know. I don't know what the deal is, but I feel like in the next couple of months, a few months, you're going to go into business for yourself, and it's going to be a little iffy for a couple of months, but it's actually going to take off. But the thing I want to point out, and what Spirit is telling me to tell you, is that whenever we get in these ruts in life, we all go there. But one thing I want you to understand is that no one has power over you unless you give them that power. No one can block you unless you believe it and allow it. It's just like, I'm from Louisiana, okay? Voodoo in New Orleans is rampant. It's a true religion. I understand that. People really believe in it. But you know what? I could have a voodoo queen priestess come stand in front of me and throw chicken blood on me and throw powder on me and tell me I'm going to die, and I'd laugh in her face. Because for me, it's not in my consciousness. That does not affect me because it's not in my worldview or my belief system. Okay? So somebody else that believes in it would probably kill over there with a heart attack. But that's not going to affect me because I don't allow that energy to come near me. It's the same thing with you. No one can block you unless you allow it. So if you feel like something or someone is blocking you, you need to go within and just realize how limitless this universe is, how there is, limitless, whatever other word is there. It's an infinite amount of whatever you want. So it's all about our choices. So if you feel like you're being blocked, look at your life and say, is it my attitude? Am I negative? Am I depressed? Am I anxious? Is it me and my brain? Like I told the other caller, start changing the way you think. Is it really someone else's energy affecting me? Okay, if it is, then do you know how to protect yourself? If you don't, you need to learn how to put a protective field around your aura and your body so that people's negative energy doesn't hit you. It just bounces off, and they can't take your energy. You know how you walk and you're around some people, they're all sad and depressed, you're feeling great. By the end of the conversation, you're miserable, and they're laughing and smiling and saying, it was so good seeing you, and they leave you like a limp dish rag. That's because they came in, you weren't protected, they sucked all your energy right out of your body. So they feel great and you feel lousy. So there's different things you need to learn to do in our environment and for ourselves that will help you. But as far as another person blocking you, you're too much of a warrior for that, Amber. You're a warrior spirit. I'm a warrior spirit. Not everybody is. But you're one of these people that when you've had enough, that's it. Forget it, bud. And so you need to get that back. You need to get that, pick up that sword. I know you've had it. You're tired. You're worn down. But it's time for you to say, shining the sword and the shield up. This is a bunch of bull. No one is going to bother me, and I'm getting on with this life, and I'm taking my energy, and I'm doing something with it. And every day, write your goals down. What are your goals for the next 3 months, 6 months, year, 5 years? That's what successful business people do. They write their long-term goals down, and then every day you work towards that goal. It's perseverance. But I do feel you're going into business for yourself. I do feel within 6 months you're going to be going, oh, my God, this is so much work. I can't believe I'm doing this. But you're going to be doing what you want to do. The other thing Spirit told me to tell you is that you need to get out and do something for somebody else. You need to go volunteer at a pet shelter, a homeless shelter. You need to give back and give of yourself, and that will help you spark your imagination. It will help you find that spiritual balance because you're like me. I can't sit in a lotus position and go, I can't meditate. I start doing the grocery list or I fall asleep. Or I'm thinking about my Sudoku that I need to do or my Facebook post. I'm one of these people, I'm an active meditator. That's the term I coined years ago, an active meditator. When I'm with my horses, if I'm, you know, if I do cook, if I'm doing gardening, you know, when I write in my journal, when I, you know, play my piano, find your passion because that is what's wrong. Your creative flow is blocked. You're not connected to spirit. Because whatever our passion is, that's our little gift that God gave us that when we're doing it, it's like you're in church. You lose all track of time. You're totally at balance. You feel renewed afterwards. You have a better attitude, and you have gratitude. And so these are the things Spirit wants you to do. Change your attitude. Go volunteer and help somebody else. Start making your goals, writing them down. Pick up your dadgum sword and get on with it, girl.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it.
We're your cheerleaders over here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So go for it.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for calling in. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. We're at
the
end of
that girl needs to pick up her sword. Can you hear that energy in her? She's got to get her sword. She's got to get her warrior self back.
Yeah, I think that she's capable of being really, really strong. I do think that. I think she has that leadership qualities.
Yep.
I guess it's how we feel about ourselves when we get up in the morning. I don't feel like leadership anything when I look at myself in the mirror. Okay, so give out your phone number and your information for Thursday night show. Let's
okay.
Do that for you.
Number's 918-623-0064. PatRivers33@gmail.com, and that's 2 T's in Pat. River Spirit Messages on Facebook, and my radio show is River Spirit Messages. It'll be on 8 o'clock Central Standard Time on Blog Talk. Please don't text me because I don't even have a cell phone. And if you go to Blog Talk on Rosemary's shows and my show and our show tonight, you can follow us. That way you'll get information. If you go to our Facebook pages, that's where we put on there the dates and times for all our shows. So if you go ahead and like our pages, Rosemary's page, and like my page, then you'll know when the shows are.
And my phone number is 727-524-1010, and my website is rosemaryfox.com. My show tomorrow, The Third Eye, is on from 7 to 8:30, and I have Cynthia Hodges on tomorrow with me, and we're going to be talking about the really, really fabulous new moon that's coming, new moon in Scorpio tomorrow, which is a day for manifestation. If you thought your dreams are not possible, this is time to open that door and do it. Write it down, do whatever. I mean, what have you got to lose? That's what I think. So that energy is there tomorrow to do that. And my show will be on, I think I said it already, I don't know, 7 to 8:30. I think after we do this for a while, I kind of go stir crazy before the show ends.
I can't remember.
And I know we talked a long time tonight about the abortion issue, but it was very important, and I do believe that a lot of people that listened enjoyed it and understood a lot more than maybe they did before. So that's the whole purpose of that, and I want to wish you all a good night, and it's good night from Pat, right, Pat?
Goodbye. Have a good week, everybody.
Yeah, have a good week, and I will be on the show tomorrow. So take care. Bye-bye.
Night.